I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, thank you for being such. This is your extended ad-free version of the show. And thank you to patrons, including some new names, Tarek Fidel, Thomas Grant, and I plucked out Richard Taylor earlier just because he was at the top of the list when I was looking for a list of patrons. They're all supporting us directly, and you can join them. Get the full-length ad-free show, our extra message, Patreon exclusive sister show by going to patreon.com/UK Tech. And I have to say, the patrons are something of a bunch of guinea pigs today because I accidentally enabled one of my cameras in this home studio of mine. And then Ian did. And so we're actually doing this live on video for our patrons in our Discord.
Never to be seen again.
Well, that's the thing. If it turns out it works quite well and people like it, then maybe that becomes a thing that we offer for all of our patrons who do listen to us live, as you can see us as well. And
I need a hat though, like Nate.
Yeah, you don't want to see my hair. Trust me.
A beanie. No.
Right now. Kate's going to cut it for me later.
Look how long my fringe is. It comes all the way down to my mouth. Sometimes, if I foot wax in it, I can make a horn.
Mm. Well, I know, of course, you only use quality lard ordinarily in your hair, Ian, but I know that your lard supply has been somewhat disrupted by the Brexit and the COVID.
Yes, can't get that lard anymore, can you?
No, it's a shame. That was good lard. Right, shall we talk sensible things? I want to talk about Bebo, the social...
Is that how it's pronounced?
No, it's pronounced Bebo, but okay. I just want to have a little bit of fun there for a second. Thanks for indulging me. Yeah. The BBC wrote this week that Bebo's co-founder plans to relaunch the social network with a focus on profiles and what he calls real-time interactions betwixt friends rather than just news feeds, which form the basis of the Twitters and the Facebooks. Michael Birch says his aim is to provide a refreshing break from misinformation spread elsewhere, and he told the BBC he was coding the whole effort himself. Now, if you remember, Ian, Bebo was actually very popular back in its day. I think around, 2006-ish? It had about 40 million members at its peak. It was particularly popular in Britain, but it was flogged to AOL in 2008 for several hundred million dollars. I think, I don't have the figure to hand, but I believe it was approaching $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, a big deal. But then it went kind of downhill, and Birch bought it back for $1 million, tried to revamp it. Most recently, he did something with it with esports, and then sold that to Twitch, which Amazon owns, of course, for about $25 million, but kept the rights to the brand. So he's back at it again, and he told the BBC, in fact, here's a quote that he gave to the BBC. We're calling it live social networking. When you're logged into Bebo, you are aware of which other friends are online. You can interact with them in real time. You can comment on their photo, on their profile. They'll get notified. They'll come to the photo. They may even have a conversation under the photo. It's an experiment. We'll see how it actually does. But we think it's more exciting way of actually connecting.
Has he not just invented MSN Messenger?
Well, we'll come to that, because I, like you, am showered in skepticism and have been caught short of a brolly. But my question is what he seems to do quite well with Bebo is build it up, sell it. It goes into the toilet, then relaunch it after buying it back on the cheap, and then flog that. And then start it again. And I can't knock the dedication there. That's
quite impressive.
It's great. It reminds me of a lot of the stock shorting that's been going on recently with the Reddit traders. You know,
GameStonk.
Yeah, you borrow something and sell it for a lot, and then buy it back when it's cheap. But we're not talking about that because I feel like that's Bloomberg's domain, and I keep those two separate, like two angry siblings. But go on then, Ian. Tell me what are your thoughts and feelings on Bebo. Let them gush forth.
I mean, I never used it at the time, so I don't actually know anything about it. I never had an account. I couldn't tell you what happened there. But I'm thrilled about the idea of having an alternative to Facebook. So if he wants to do that and maintain a modicum of sanity about the privacy, or privacy, as a British person might say, then I'd be all for it. That sounds wonderful to me. And I mean, there's definitely room for more than one social network, and certainly room for more than one of the Facebook ilk rather than the Twitter kind. I would be at least receptive to the idea of it, given my current feelings about Facebook. But I love his business model. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Sell something half sort of built to someone for a lot of money. Wait for it to not work for them, and then buy it back for much less. It's fantastic.
It's good, isn't it?
I wish you could do it with underwear. Wear the underwear. Sell the underwear for a massive profit. Wait for them to realise that the underwear is all dirty. Sell it back to you for much less. I don't know how that would help, really, but...
It would start a conversation, and that is what he intends with Bebo. So there's your link, tangential.
Very good. Though it may be.
Marta, who is listening to us live in the chat room, says, it's such a tired concept. I'm tired just hearing it. And I think you're right, because there is, as you say, I think, Ian, room for an alternative to the Facebooks of the world. But this, at least now, and, you know, benefit of the doubt where it's due, feels a little bit like a COVID lockdown fueled cash in. But he's done that before, and I'm certainly not knocking him for it. I almost certainly do exactly the same thing.
If people want to give him money for nothing, who am I to argue with that?
I think what'll be interesting is seeing what unique features this offers, because that's usually a good test for the Facebooks of the world, is wait for something that launches with a very focused design. And if it takes off, Facebook will incorporate it or try and buy them first. And if they say no, then copy it.
Destroy them.
Yeah. But there's so much concern right now around sort of safety for kids online and safe social networks for children, that maybe if it returns and remains a popular place for kids, that there is actually now a market for that in a way that perhaps didn't exist in the past. I think the real challenge is that a social network to be successful at scale needs to have moderation or at least oversight as a core part of its business model if it's got any chance of being taken seriously. And I think we saw the fallout of that with Parler and the ousting of the CEO over the last few days, that his approach to moderation, i.e. don't have it, isn't necessarily what the world needs right now. And if he's a one-man band, as he kind of seems to be, at least as far as building Bebo at the moment goes, I think that may struggle. But benefit of the doubt where it's due, as I said, I'm very interested. I wonder what else we'll see come back from the past, because we do have this, don't we? We're a very nostalgic bunch. We want our old games consoles relaunched as expensive alternatives to ones we still have in our own cupboards, and yet for some reason don't use, just buy the new one. We like it when bands do 10-year anniversary tours to play their albums in full, because the kids who downloaded it at the time now have money to spend on tickets. Usually we like it. Fashion comes back every 20 years or so. Why not Bebo? Why not the pronunciation of Nvidia?
Nate.
Why not Nate? Exactly, Ian. Exactly. All of these things and more could be yours, Bebo, if you just stick to it.
I'm just so angry about that.
About what?
About you and your never forgetting the Nvidia thing.
It's just, I know. To be fair, I should apologise because I do remember saying last year that I was going to retire that jab because it had been about 14
years.
More than. I think it was probably 2007 because it was when we sat next to each other at CNET. So it is time to
retire. And also it's not a real word. So really, who's to say how it's pronounced?
Yeah, I agree. Bebo, indeed. If you have any fond memories of being a Bebo user, have you an alternative pronunciation of the social network? You can let us know any thoughts and feelings and emotions and rumblings of your deepest, darkest inner waters by sending us an email to hello@uktechshow.com. I saw this on Yahoo Finance this week, Ian. The site reported that new restrictions designed to make online casino games less intensive and safer have been announced by the Gambling Commission. These include introductions of limits on spin speeds, as well as a permanent ban on features that speed up play or celebrate losses as wins. Whatever that means.
That was what gambling really needed, wasn't it? The rebranding of a loss as a win.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, well,
everyone will be like, well, I might as well spend all my money there now as I've won constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they also want to ban something called reverse withdrawals, I read. I haven't got this in the script because I didn't fully understand them, but it's something to do with if you withdraw winnings and then you decide, actually, I want to carry on gambling, you can reverse that withdrawal and spend what you were otherwise going to have credited to your account, which incentivizes, well, it just prolongs that feeling of addiction. Like if you cash out, you should cash out. But anyway,
I don't understand that. That's weird.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Operators must clearly display to the player their total losses or wins. The Gambling Commission said online operators would need to implement the new rules by the 31st of October, also known as Samhain if you are a pagan, or Halloween if you are everyone. The move comes in response to concern over what are known as online slot games. So that's the ones that basically mimic actual slot machines in real life, betting shops and casinos, right, and stuff. Because, and I didn't know this, but they make up about 70% of all online casino games. I would have thought that card-based games and like instant win scratch card type ones would have made more a larger part of the percentage, but apparently not. Do you want to have a guess how much we spent on online slot games specifically in 2019 in the UK, Ian? Want to hazard a guess? I throw this out to our live listeners as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's more fun because I've got it written in the script in front of me.
Well, you could just pretend you didn't and just make up a guess just to hurry this along. But it's UK online slot game spending in 2019. I'll give you a clue. It's measured in the billions. Anyone want to hazard a guess in our... in our live room? Doesn't seem like anyone.
I don't think they do, given that everyone's been quiet.
Yeah, I know that sometimes they do.
Nick's Googled it.
I assume Nick has Googled it. either that or he's a radically good guesser. Okay, well, the answer is £2.2 billion, Ian. That's a very large numbering indeed. That's according to the Gambling Commission. And it does actually make me wonder whether that number will be a lot bigger in 2020 because of people getting bored in lockdown. I remember that that's been a concern for some people who have, you know, if you're bored and have a tendency to like gambling, then maybe this would be a period where that gambling intensified.
Yes.
Because that figure was from 2019, which was PC, pre-COVID.
I'm not surprised, really, that has come up. I mean, the Gambling Commission does seem to be paying attention at the moment to a number of issues. For example, the National Lottery will be reworked to be 18 and over.
Is that right?
I believe that's public knowledge. I hope I haven't just allowed out a little secret from my former employer. Well, it may not be completely finalized yet. It presumably needs to go through a voting process, but the proposal was it would go 18 plus, and I don't think anyone objects to that. It doesn't seem to make a huge amount of sense for it to be available to 16-year-olds. But who knows? We've got to get it through Parliament, I would imagine.
It'd be a difficult one for Parliament to shut down, wouldn't it? You're in favour of allowing children to gamble.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a difficult one to increase. But then 16... I mean, 16, we have, there's lots of things that is legal at 16, isn't there? They raised cigarettes to 18, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Sexual consent, I believe, is still 16. What else is 16? Driving a moped or something?
Nick's confirmed I didn't break any contractual obligations to remain secretive.
Ah, good.
It has indeed been suggested that it goes up. Yeah, I mean, and of course, gambling is a huge problem. I mean, I would like to think much less so than on the national lottery, but even so, still perfectly. There's plenty of online games there that would enable you to get quite addicted. I think I'm now allowed to play again, and I spent a tenner. I think didn't win anything massive. Won £3.60.
I remember when I was in Leek. Which is both a vegetable and a town in, I was going to say Derbyshire, but is it Cheshire?
It's Leek. Is it spelt differently?
No, it's spelt L-E-E-K. And there was a scratch card called something like Wizard Winnings or Wizard Wins or something like that.
Was this a local scratch card for local people?
No, it was an official lottery scratch card. And I remember winning £20 three times in a row on that thing.
Wow.
And really felt the pull of the gambling at that point. I was about 18. And when you're 18 and you win £20 on a scratch card and they give you 20 quid and they say, do you want another one? And you say, oh, go on then, give me a couple more. And you win another £20 and then another £20.
Yeah.
The temptation to carry on is pretty significant.
Well, presumably they, you feel like they've messed up the reel and they're all winners on that spool or something.
I never thought that, but I did. I have a very addictive personality. I'm very extreme. I'm very good at either just stopping doing something instantly and never doing it again, or doing something to such excess that it borders on ruining my life. And I've done that, many, many things over the years, and I've come to terms with that and quit things.
God, I remember the great sausage addiction of 2018. That was tough times. No, I'm only joking.
Oh.
As far as I know, you're not actually addicted to sausages. I hope I haven't made an appalling joke at your expense there, and actually you've been in rehab for some time hoping to get the pork out of your system.
No, I'm still familiar with the way of the pork wand, but no, I'm not addicted to them.
Thank the Lord.
I went through a period when I was quite young, maybe 18, I wouldn't say I was addicted to Lemsip, which, for those who are not familiar with the brand, it's a slightly caffeinated paracetamol-based lemon drink. But I remember in some of my earlier days, I seemed to feel that I needed Lemsip, otherwise I wouldn't feel fine. I think I worried my mum quite a lot with that. Haven't drunk alcohol now for coming up to 2 years.
Mm. Have you... you would occasionally have a drink on an occasion, wouldn't you? But have you sort of not even done that?
I've been
teetotal to now.
No, I've been completely teetotal for quite a long time. Non-alcoholic beer is fine, and we still have alcohol in the house. Kate doesn't drink either, but which is good. We've gone awfully personal, haven't we?
Well, has Kate completely given up drinking as well?
She hasn't had a snifter for quite a while.
I mean, it's probably quite easy to give up drinking when you live with someone who doesn't drink.
I think it's certainly harder to give something up if you are in lockdown with someone who isn't giving it up.
Yeah.
I think that can brew tension. I've heard stories about that, but no, it's been all right. I actually use an app called I Am Sober, which is it's designed for addicts, and I was never an alcoholic, just to clarify, but I did find that gamifying the
gave you an addiction to gaming, but
the giving
that
up
was better than drinking.
Yeah, I could give up alcohol very easily, but giving up drumming, video games, well, I've cut down on. But
have you given up? I mean, no one's going to want you to give up drumming, are they?
No, least of all me. I've no intention, because it's not impacting my life negatively. Whereas things like we're talking about with gambling and alcohol and video games and things like those are things that are very addictive, and in many ways designed to be incredibly addictive. Certainly, gambling is not created to make you want to gamble less. Certainly, the way that a lot of these online apps and games are designed, you know, they're there to be very moorish, as are things like loot boxes in games. We've talked about this at length before, and some countries in the world have ruled that loot boxes in video games are a form of gambling.
Why don't we just ban it all then? Like, why don't we just ban gambling?
Well, that's probably a broader question than we have time to...
than a technology podcast. I mean, we haven't really been talking about technology for the last 10 minutes, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like anything that goes online, it's immediately easier to do, isn't it? So maybe we need to make online gambling illegal.
I mean, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, do you make something illegal, or do you make it so difficult that it's possible but not appealing? Because if you ban something, it goes into the underground. You know, you're not going to ban, like, gambling is an innate, inherent human thing, isn't it? Like, there is a part of the brain that is triggered, that's very similar to drug use with gambling and many other things. So you're not going to get rid of people's desire to risk something for a greater reward, even if it's a one-off. I mean, we saw that with the Robin Hood stuff as well, with GameStop.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah, I mean, that brings it quite nicely back to a vaguely sort of techish theme, doesn't it? Like, people, I guess because people don't understand the stock market, but also they thought they couldn't lose, and invested silly amounts of money. I mean, that subreddit is now full of stories of people who've put way too much money in. Some guy who borrowed 30 grand or something and was going to have to pay it back at a grand a month. You know, like, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. But I mean, if you're going to do something, but then this is the, you know, someone who's not got a gambling problem talking, isn't it? If, you know, I can say to myself, well, okay, you know, it's all right if I put 10 quid on my lottery app every now and then, play a few games, get some enjoyment out of it, that's fine. If, you know, because I'm able to stop and not ruin myself financially, which I could probably do quite easily, you know, it's fine. But at some point, people are just like, especially if you don't have, you know, enough money, and you think, well, this could be a way out. If I buy, you know, 1,000 game stonks at, you know, $15, and they go up to $400 and I sell them, then I'm going to be stonking rich, aren't I? But
you are.
Of course, it doesn't always work like that. And then there was, you know, the mix of people who probably have quite a lot of money and are maybe do run investments anyway, but decided to be part of that GameStop thing just for the lols. And in so doing, could, you know, didn't matter to them if they lost, because, you know, they bought at $15. Didn't matter to them if they lost $1,000 at $15, you know, instead of where everyone else is getting in at $100 or more, and it ends up badly. I don't know what GameStop's up to now. Probably quite a lot of people could walk out with at least no loss. So
depending on where you bought, I think it was down 80% for the week. I have to keep my eye very closely on this stuff for work reasons.
As of now, it's 63.77, which is around where it's been for the last few days.
Okay. Okay.
So it's actually sort of stabilized at 63 for a bit. So yeah.
If you bought it at $300 though.
Oh no, that's catastrophic, and lots of people did.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yes, that is a thing, and we could talk at length about some of the ways that maybe gambling could be still gamified but less risky. I mean, actually, so Andy, my brother, who's obviously on the show quite a lot, I think he still has something set up where his app, it's a lottery app, it every week automatically but invisibly places a bet, and he just gets notified if he wins anything. But he doesn't have to actively go in and spend it until a pre-allotted amount of credit that he's put
winnings
up front.
Yeah.
No, not winnings, but
I
don't know what the figure is, but if it's something like once a pound once a week, he would load the account with £20 and say, you know, when it's gone, that's gone. And he gets notified either when the money runs out or when he's won something, and that's it. So it removes him from that active feeling of I'm making that decision, I'm getting that immediate reward, which is encouraging the next spend. It's not removing it completely, because if he won £1,000 in one day, then he may very well say, well, I'll put quite a bit more back in. But instant feedback response that can trigger the serotonin and our human desire to grow things. I don't know, maybe that could be better. If you have some what words is this going to be?
Winning sentence, email.
You were close. I was going with views, which is next to W, but obviously quite a different word. If you have some views you would like to share on this topic, if you live in a country that has interesting laws on online gambling, maybe you can share them with us and we can read them out next week. hello@uktechshow.com. Or, of course, if you have winnings you'd like to share, send us some money. Okay, email. I think we should dive into, did I say email? I meant Ian, but of course Ian does have email. And in fact, for our patrons, we just spent the last probably 20 minutes talking about why email won't die. I think that was one of our best Patreon conversations ever. You can get that if you get our extended edition. However, we had Andy on the show the other day, Ian, and we have got a rare treat. A rare treat.
Oh.
We've got an email from my mother.
That is dark. Oh.
She emailed in after listening to her two sons talking about being drunk in charge of a horse. So here's an email from my mum. Hi, Nate. Hi, Mum. You and Andrew were talking about being drunk in charge of a scooter or bike and asking whether anyone could be drunk in charge of a horse. Thought you'd like to know, I have indeed been in that situation many years ago. My cousin and I took our horses for a long ride, finishing up in the village close to the stables where they were kept. It was a warm day and it seemed a good idea to stop off at one of the three village pubs for a glass of wine. Having consumed that, it seemed an even better idea to ride on to a second pub for a further glass or two. Unsurprisingly, we felt it churlish not to sample what was on offer at the third one, after which we found
considerable difficulty in
considerable difficulty in mounting up, or indeed which was the best way back to the farm. Fortunately, the horses had declined the offer of a drink and were very familiar with the route. I can remember us laughing uproariously all the way back without any real idea how we'd got there.
Fantastic.
Signed, your mother.
Very formal email there from your mum.
By design.
Okay.
Yes, my mother was drunk in charge of a quadruped in her youth.
I don't know about your mum, and that's a great story. I really like that. That's made my day. My mum is old enough to remember before drink drive rules were even a thing. She told me about, you know, how they would drive home from parties and they could barely see the lines on the road. You know, terrifying, really, if you think about it. Like, I mean, even if it's not illegal, and even if you're very unlikely to meet someone coming the other way, it's still quite scary driving. I mean, I've never driven drunk, but I can imagine how scary it would be. I've driven in Forza drunk, and that's bad enough.
Be strange being sober, but the horse is drunk. That would be truly terrifying.
No, that would be worse. So much worse.
Seriously worse. Really, really dangerous. Marta in chat says, good horsey story. I agree. In fact, I've been riding with Marta through the forests of Essex. It was absolutely delightful.
I look forward to doing that at some point.
It's great. It's wonderful.
With her horse that's like a dog.
Absolutely.
That he's very friendly and comes and says hello.
Is he like a dog? I don't know. Hooves to say. We've got one other quick email I just wanted to mention from Tony. He says, hey, Nate, just watched the latest episode of This Week in Tech. Been a subscriber for more years than I can remember and love your input on the show. I'm now a subscriber of your podcast. Keep up the interesting content from a fellow Brit living and working in Canada in the tech industry. Well, thank
Wonderful.
You, Tony.
Welcome to Tony. That's great news.
It is. Yes, I thought I'd include this, A, to say cheers, Tony, but also if you are looking for some more, a bit more Nate in your life, then go and download This Week in Tech from the other day, because that went on.
Are you sure you don't need a special license from the government for that much Nate?
No. Text message, of course, keeps you informed about the British tech landscape, even if you are Tony and even if you're living in Canada on a different continent. But do you know who's close to Tony most of the time? Well, closer than us, anyway, in Los Angeles. We all know who it is. It's Tom Merritt. Tom, what's been going on this week in the wider world of tech that includes Canada?
This week on Daily Tech News Show, how indie publishers in China recently got squashed on some social media but found a new way to literally make their voice heard on Clubhouse. Big in China. Boston Dynamics actually has a viable business selling dog-like robots to industry. Why the latest SolarWinds attack is not as bad as it sounds. Justin Robert Young helps us understand proposals to reform antitrust law in the United States. And what is a subwoofer? Patrick Norton helps us understand it is not a dog that can dive below water. All of that and more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
I love it. That's brilliant.
I know.
Not a dog that can dive beneath water. Although that would be a subwoofer.
It would. It's a perfectly legitimate description.
Yeah. There's that old meme, isn't there, of a dog with its pup and its woofer, subwoofer for the little pup.
My favourite one with the dog is the one where it's a dog answering a phone with its testicles and it says, what's it say? Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, that's an awful story to tell in an audio podcast, not least because I couldn't remember it. Thank you, Tom. that's excellent. And thank you to everyone who's been listening. We've had a huge live audience this week. Patrons are always invited and always listening live. And from now on, it seems watching us live as well. So that's all available to you from patreon.com/UKTech. You give us a little bit of money instead of buying us a beer or a coffee once a month. And get a whole lot of extra text message. A lot more Ian, a lot more me, and a lot more horse puns, frankly. And that is where we leave the show for today. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, everybody. And have some gammon for dinner.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.